mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
The NBA Finals will get underway shortly. Did you see the news that the Pacers had a tough time landing in OKC because of, again, weather? Well, this is like the third time we've talked about weather on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. But while all of this goes on, and while the Oklahoma City Thunder and Indiana Pacers get set for the NBA Finals, which start on Thursday, the Giannis situation is still hanging over the NBA, and we're calling this the nonsense portion of the program because, well, a lot of this stuff is nonsense related to Giannis's decision whether or not to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks. Shaquille O'Neal, and you probably have seen a lot of the stories with TNT and Inside the NBA and how they're moving to ESPN. So those guys have been all making the rounds. I believe Shaq is actually on the Kelce Brothers podcast today. I think that episode dropped today. But Shaq was giving some advice to Giannis Antetokounmpo on things you should consider, things you don't need to consider when making a decision about where you want to spend this next portion, this next chapter of your career. Take a listen.
I would tell him they're probably throwing in his face bigger market. Doesn't matter. Social media is the market now. You know, Giannis has made a name for himself on social media. Like, you go to L.A., that's 50% of your contract, goes to taxes, more pressure and more stress. Being that he's in control of that ship, he should go upstairs and be like, I want to see all the free agents. I want all the phone numbers. I want to talk to them. He should bring people to him. You know, when I was coming up, it was small market. You're too small. You probably need to go to a big market. I took advantage of that. But now every market is the same. Nobody cares what city you're in anymore. This ain't the 90s.
Chu, do you generally agree with Shaquille O'Neal's suggestion?
Yes and no. Because even back in my day, players would pick like a Tampa Bay because there's no income tax here, so you're getting 6% more of your contract, which is when you're signing a multi-million-dollar deal, that's kind of a big number. So guys did look at that, and then with big market, I mean there are more endorsement opportunities, I believe.
Like what?
I don't.
Like what shoe? Like he's got a signature Nike shoe. Like that's the pinnacle of NBA endorsement deals.
Like car dealerships in New York or LA. You know, think like local endorsement deals, not national.
They make so much more money. Like
I'm saying. I don't think Giannis cares about that because he already makes a boatload of money.
You're making $58 million. I don't think you need, like, I mean, go wherever. I mean, I know a bunch of the dealerships here give away the free cars to the guys here. I mean, that's all you really need to do.
Brett had a pretty sweetheart deal with Bergstrom up in the Appleton area.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 6%. It's a pretty big number, Gabe. You know, I'm just saying. In my day, guys are like, "Holy cow, you get 6% more of your check," and they take that into consideration. Well, should I go to, like, whoever played the San Francisco 49ers or Tampa Bay? And a lot of guys would choose Tampa Bay because the tax base in California is so high, and you get to save that there. So I'm just saying.
I just think when you think about the faces of the NBA right now, guys. How many of them are in small markets? A lot of them.
Majority of them.
You talk about the MVP. You talk about Nikola Jokic. Obviously, Anthony Edwards, who's in Minnesota. Like, these are some of the faces of the league right now. And I'm not mentioning Giannis, but of course we include him in that mix as well. Shaq is absolutely right that it doesn't matter where you are. You can be a superstar anywhere. So when you're talking about the pros and cons list, Gabe, and people sit there and go, these are the reasons why Giannis Antetokounmpo will be even bigger if he goes to a bigger market, this sort of takes the wind out of those sails.
Yeah, and no, it does. And honestly, I would even push back on Shaq saying, well, this isn't the 90s. Like, dude, you decided to go to L.A. I don't know who got in your ear. Everybody loved. I grew up in Horicon, Wisconsin. You couldn't be any further away from the Orlando Magic.
Correct.
Loved the Magic. Had a Magic hoodie, had a Penny Hardaway jersey, loved Shaquille O'Neal as a kid. Like, everybody loved the Orlando Magic in the mid-90s before social media because of Shaq. Like, if you're a big enough star, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if the 90s, doesn't matter if it's now. I mean, yeah, you take a look around the league, and yeah, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're good enough, and if the NBA is indeed kind of putting the, hey, we're this league of stars, you know, the stars are the most important thing. Like, yeah, Giannis has finished, you know, top five in MVP voting, like, each of the last 7 years. He's been unanimous first team each of the last 7 years. He's one of the top jersey sellers each and every year. A lot of that's international because of the Greece influence. But, yeah, you can be a star wherever. I mean, think about LeBron. He was in Cleveland, right? It's, you don't need to be New York, L.A., Dallas anymore.
No, I just think if he can win a championship in Charlotte, then he'll go to Charlotte, right? I think to him it's just, where does it give me the best opportunity to put rings on my finger?
And I know That's we it. Keep going back to this, too, but I still can't help but think that, like, for a guy like Giannis, who values loyalty so much, and I know that this might be the time where, you know, that is not the defining factor. That is not the deciding factor. But Milwaukee is and has been so, has embraced him so much, and he has grown up here. And I know we have talked about this element of it. I think it's very difficult to cash that in. I think, I'll talk about my own personal experiences, right, guys? I was in Chicago covering the Bears, the Bulls, the White Sox, high school stuff there. I grew up in Northern Illinois, as many of you remind me on the talk and text line all the time. But when I had the opportunity to go to ESPN, bigger market, more money, more exposure, all of the things, I really wrestled with it. Because when I was growing up, man, all I wanted to do was talk sports and be a sportscaster for the hometown teams, the ones that I had grown up loving. I think it's kind of like that for Giannis, right? As a kid from Greece, he dreamed of playing in the NBA. Milwaukee gave him that opportunity. Now, I'm not saying he won't go, but I guarantee that there are these thoughts of there's a safety here. There's a familiarity here. There is a comfort here. And I think that that all plays a role in when you're faced with something like this, it has a very strong pull.
And it's true. He said, well, and also, again, going to a bigger market doesn't mean more money. As Shaq pointed out. Yeah, maybe you need to have bigger endorsement deals to make up for the lost income because of taxes if you go to Los Angeles and the cost of living in L.A. Like, I have no idea what Giannis's house looks like here, but I guarantee you, whatever it is, goes a lot. The dollar goes a lot farther here than it does L.A. in terms of purchase power and the size of home that you want.
No, I think there will be a time that he does leave. I just don't think now is it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's certainly possible to. And maybe he decides, you know, he's going to let his contract expire in 2 years and become a free agent and go wherever the hell he wants to go. You know, because he looks at it now of, well, somebody right now has to trade for me, and that means they're giving up a lot. But if I wait to be a free agent, then I can go and that team doesn't have to give up anything other than salary cap space for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the news about Tom Thibodeau being fired?
Shocked. Yes.
I was shocked as well. How do you lead the team to the Eastern Conference Finals?
You haven't been there in 25 years.
It was a build. It was a slow burn, but they got there, right? And how do you have the peak of success for this team for decades and then go, you know what?
Well, especially because there was, after the game, somebody had asked Jalen Brunson about Tom Thibodeau. And his response was basically like running the question back to the reporter. Like, you're asking me about Tom. No, he's the coach. Like, we love, you know, like, we absolutely love him. Like, clearly the players had his back and then they decided to fire him anyway. Like, that's how you lose players. That's how you piss people off. And that's not what you want to do. Like, now Jalen Brunson's going, that was my guy and we just fired him? What the bleep are we doing?
That feels like a Jerry Jones thing. Doesn't it?
Like a James Dolan?
Yes, because he's a moron. But I mean, with Jerry Jones, when he got rid of Jimmy Johnson because he wanted the spotlight more on him than Jimmy Johnson, I don't know. I agree, it's stupid. But you know, I wanted to ask you guys this. If for some reason Giannis does leave,
yep,
and Doc says, I don't want to do that, would Thibodeau come here or no?
I mean, I doubt it. I don't know if at this point, I mean, Tibbs has been around for a long time. Like, he's been coaching for a long time. I don't know how badly he wants to coach and if he'd want to be a part of a rebuild, which, if Giannis gets traded, that's what Milwaukee
is. I'm good on Tibbs. I'm good on that experience.
You're out on it, you're saying.
We've seen him. He wears out his welcome. Is Tibbs being mistreated everywhere he goes? Or is he part of the issue?
See, but this was the shocking part to me, because usually it's the players who don't, because they don't like playing all the minutes that he plays them during the regular season, and like the players kind of run him out. That wasn't the case in New York. Like, the players seemingly had his back and loved playing.
Do we have all that information right now, though? Because I heard them talking about on Sportsman, like, it didn't sound... You can interpret posts now how Jalen Brunson talked about him as going either way. We took it as a positive because it seemed like they loved him, but what's next, and who possibly could they be maneuvering for?
I mean, but you...
who's out there? Jalen's dad.
Isn't the proof in the pudding, though? Isn't it as simple as this guy led this team to unprecedented, and I know the 90s, don't start me with the Knicks of the 90s, I get it. But, like, recently, they haven't had this level of success. Is it too Occam's razor to say he was a reason for the success, and by pushing him out the door, you are unlikely to duplicate that success? To me, this is the simplest explanation for their success, was Tibbs was a big part of it. It blows my mind. And yes, do I think he is tough to deal with? I do. I covered him in Chicago, and I remember when he was unceremoniously fired from the Bulls as well, and the ownership did not handle that well. I have carried that grudge since that day. But I also think that you get what you get with Tibbs, which is he's a basketball. I'm not sure that there's much else going on in Tibbs' life than basketball. He's an NBA coach. His brain is kind of like the beautiful mind type of thing. And his thing is, we're going to run. And that's what they did.
I mean, this would be like, Chew, if they decided to fire Holmgren after 95. Like, you guys are in the NFC Championship game. You go down there. You lose to Dallas. And Ron Wolf and Bob Harlan just go, well, I mean, you just can't beat Dallas. We got to go in a different direction. You just can't beat Dallas. You keep losing to Dallas. We got to do something different. Like, what? Like, you were just in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 25 years. Like, what are we doing here?
Who do you think canned him? Dolan or the GM?
That is being debated.
I just always assume, and again, I don't follow the Knicks that closely, I just always assume anytime something surprising happens with that team, and it's in the negative, it's James Dolan.
Surprising? Well, but, you put surprising in quotes? Yeah,
hey,
it's like...
he's got a band. Maybe he'll write a song like Taylor Swift.
JD in the straight shot.
Me and the Tibbs just couldn't figure it out. It started to rain and I moved to Spain.
You are on one this morning, sir.
I'm pretty sure JD and the straight shot have played Summerfest.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they have.
You've got to be able to look that up. There's got to be some Summerfest like dossier or Summerfest list, right? We'll take a break here on Gen
We'll dive into that. We'll see if we can figure that out.
Before we go completely off the rails, Chewy's over here singing Swift-esque songs written by James Dolan.
I don't know if we're recovering at this
Ship
point.
Ship has sailed.
Find out what all the screaming is about. Buy two, get one free on Screamin' Sicilian at your local Piggly Wiggly stores. All Screamin' Sicilian pizzas are buy two, get one free from now through June 10th. So think about that. Think about just Screamin' Sicilian alone within the Palermo's brand. Screamin' Sicilian, so you've got the original, great stone-fired crust, great toppings, a lot of different options. But then you've got the thin and crispy, you've got the tavern style, and then one of the favorites really quickly developing into our favorite for me and Joshy, you've got the Detroit style.
Heck yeah.
I mean,
it's the best.
Buy two, get one free, Joshy. You need to get to Piggly Wiggly. Stock up now. Buy two, get one free. All Screamin' Sicilian pizzas. It's a great time to stock up on your freezers and find out what all that screaming is about.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying, if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry a little bit longer. I ain't gonna smile if I don't want to.
Journey, sometimes quick, sometimes patient, but it should always be exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals, they're about building relationships and helping you find the perfect fit. My family, well, we've been looking for a lake house, and my goodness, have Rob and Nick given us a lot of options. And when we can't get out to a house, guys, they go themselves, take pictures, send them over to me so I can take a look at them. It is so clear that their passion is people. Whether you're ready to move in right now or you're just starting your journey and looking, it is awesome to work with the We Sell Group every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com. Joshie, where did this list come from? This wide receiver, new wide receiver, new quarterback wide receiver duo list. Where did it come from?
CBS Sports.
Okay. I just didn't have it in front of me, so I wasn't sure. So, you're saying they're reputable, huh?
Yeah. It was just something I ran into here. I was a little confused by the rankings, going to be honest.
Where did the Green Bay Packers fall on this list?
Eighth.
It is either the quarterback or the wide receiver has to be new to the team is the premise of the list. They rank the top 15 new quarterback wide receivers duos, and Matthew Gold and Jordan Love came in at number 8.
For comparison's sake, I think we need to know the duos who are above them on this list. Chewy, you got any idea who number 1 might be? It's familiar faces, I'll tell you that. Best new quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL, according to CBS Sports.
Is it a veteran?
Yes.
It's a veteran and a veteran, and one of those veterans used to be a Green Bay Packer.
Devante?
That's correct.
Matthew Stafford, Devante Adams, number 1.
That actually feels fair. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got two established future Hall of Famers. Yes.
Yep.
After that,
Debo's got to be on there.
Oh, let me see. Debo. Yes. Oh, yeah. Number 3. Jaden Daniels, Debo Samuel, number 3. Do you have any guess at number 2? Another trade that we saw happen this offseason?
Probably Cowboys.
Yep. Dak Prescott, George Pickens. You got most of the details.
No, he didn't. He had some of the details.
You're right.
Most was strong.
Most was generous. Number 4 is Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba in Seattle. Number 5 is J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson, which, again, we have seen greatness from Justin Jefferson. I am still reserving judgment on J.J. McCarthy.
I think everybody is.
I just don't think that you can be that good. Again, I think that Jaden Daniels, and I know that some people point to C.J. Stroud, I think those were the exceptions to the rule. I don't know that he is going to come in and have that level of success in his first year in Minnesota.
What if he's good as Bo Nix?
Yeah, then that's still a good team.
But example.
Those offensive weapons.
But I don't know if he's going to repeat the year that Sam Darnold had. And when Sam Darnold wasn't operating at the highest of levels, the Vikings fell off pretty quick.
Fair.
You know, because if you take a look at the last two games of the regular season and then obviously their postseason game.
So the reason that a lot of these guys are obviously ahead of Jordan Love and Matthew Golden is they are established individuals, right? Like Stafford is an established individual, Devontae, yeah. Jackson, Smith and Jigba, Debo. You have a body of work at least for all of those people. Is Matthew Golden the first rookie on this list, guys? Yeah, he is because number 7
really?
Is Russell Wilson and Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. And Lamar Jackson and DeAndre Hopkins are ahead of them. So, yes, that... Wow.
Josh, yeah, I mean, JJ... I guess JJ's kind of a rookie.
Yeah.
Because he didn't play last year.
The preseason
Who was the first rookie receiver taken in the draft?
Well, that would be Tet.
Tedrone right? McMillan.
And where'd he go?
Carolina.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That answers
now
that.
Now
okay.
I get the game.
Oh, okay.
You know, what about the Ohio State kid? Because Baker's a pretty darn good quarterback.
Yeah.
Remember we liked
Emeka Abuka? Yeah.
Abuka. Yeah.
I mean, he's third on the depth chart there, so it's kind of hard to predict how much he'll even play in 2025.
Yeah, but what do you think Golden's going to be? Golden's not going to start the season at 1. I would highly doubt it.
Who's going to hold off the competition better? Mike Evans and Chris Godwin or Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed?
And Dontavian Wicks. Because Reed almost exclusively plays the slot.
You guys, there are only 2 rookies in the top 10 of this list. It is Matthew Golden and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! wow. I mean, look, after reading it that way, because obviously there's movement, there's trades, quarterbacks move, wide receivers move. That is high praise. That is a lot of optimism for Jordan Love and Matthew Golden. I'm kind of excited about this. The rest of them, I mean, even after that, Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields. Again, body of work, body of work.
Yeah.
Drake May, Stephon Diggs. Oh, Diggs. Sounds like they're standing by him, guys. Sounds like they are standing by Stephon Diggs.
Like I really, really have an option at this point.
Oh, boy. That to me is a powder keg.
Oh, really?
Literally.
A pink powder keg, maybe?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
Well, we gave Kraft a pass with Massage Envy.
So number 11 on the list.
We're not talking about Tucker either, Hank. Just want to put that out there, make sure that is clear.
Took me a second. I got it.
Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, number 12 on the list.
Gabe is red in the face. Gabe is embarrassed.
Gabe, it's fine. Okay, Penne.
That's how you say Penne his name.
Sewell? No, that's it's not. Name. It's Penny.
No, it's not.
It's definitely spell, not Penny.
Spell Sewell's first name.
P-E-N-N-Y.
Nope.
Well, that would explain it.
Explains our disconnect here.
Sex. Joshy, what was your issue with the list?
I was just surprised to see a guy who some people are talking about regression or a guy who needs to play better up there with Matt, with Matthew Golden, who we really have no idea what to expect thus far. Like, Matthew Golden was somewhat of a highly touted guy. He definitely rose later in the process, but 23rd overall pick, Bill Barnwell talked about the logjam. I just imagined there would be more newer duos that were more exciting. But as you read the list, it kind of does taper off. But like,
how excited are you for Tyler Shuck and Chris Olave?
Not that much.
Okay.
Drake May and Stephon Diggs, though, doesn't that feel like that's almost certainly better?
Yeah, assuming Diggs plays.
Well, he might
but they're gonna slow play Golden. They're going to slow play him, which is fine. He's going to have a package for him. He's not going to. I'd be shocked if he. Dobbs will start at Z. And my guess is.
Can you really be that shocked, though, Chu, when you take a look at the way rookie wide receivers regularly contribute and have pretty big seasons?
So who's he going to beat out, Gabe?
If he has all these physical tools that the other receivers just don't have.
Better question, who's going to hold him off?
Yeah.
And again, I know, Chewy, you're anti-Gush, so I want to preface what I'm about to say with that. Mm-hmm. But all of the reports out of training camp yesterday, or is it training camp?
This is OTAs.
Thank you. OTAs are, he's the real deal. Again, anti-Gush, again, it's just OTAs. But
they're in shorts and helmets.
They love the way, they love his route running. They have loved his hands. Again, anti-Gush.
Listen to this headline. After last season ended with two concussions, Robbie Dobbs looks like a specimen this spring. Here we go.
That was the word in fairness, Chu. Specimen is a direct quote from Matt LaFleur.
Is he just trying to avoid best shape of his life moniker?
Trying to come up with different words to say best.
Oh, because best shape of your life is
kiss of death.
Kiss of death.
It's usually like the biggest lie ever.
Yep.
It's usually for a guy, and I know the Packers don't have a lot of these guys, but it's usually a 31, 32 year old man. This guy really dedicated himself. He's the best shape of his life.
Yep.
I'm sure he's in fine shape, but you're in the best shape of your life in the 20s.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
It's the ultimate, I had a disappointing season last season, so now I'm taking football seriously this time around, apparently.
Yeah, best shape of your life is...
That's why I love Mike McCarthy. I loved him. Explain. Hey, Mike, what's Eddie Lacy? Oh, he's fat.
He did regret that.
He's fat. See, that's not anti-Gush.
No, is it anti-Gush?
That is anti-Gush.
Sorry,
yes.
Okay.
Do you think that Jordan Love and Matthew Golden will be better than the eighth quarterback wide receiver duo? Do you think they will be lower than the eighth quarterback wide receiver duo? And I'm talking about in the league, guys. Because, again, I know that this list is new duos. But, like, there's obviously a lot of them. We rattled off a boatload of quarterbacks. Jordan Love, a lot of this to me is based on the potential of Jordan Love. It's based on what we saw flash with Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine they're top 10. Hard to imagine. As number of as good as the wide receivers are in this league and as good as the quarterbacks are in this league, I can't imagine that those two this upcoming season are going to be top 8. Because, I mean, again, Dak Prescott's on this list already with George Pickens. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, already pretty damn good. Like, Jayden Daniels and Jayden Daniels is above them on this list, but Jayden Daniels and Scary Terry McLaurin, already pretty damn good. Doesn't have Baker Mayfield, Godwin, or Evans. Pick your poison. Already both pretty good. There's no Nico Collins and C.J. Stroud. No Patrick Mahomes and Rashee Rice. Like, there's to be top 8 in terms of wide receiver, you know, wide receiver and quarterback duos, like, you've got to be pretty, one of you, if not both of you, have to be close to all pro level. Like, you got to be really good to be in that top 10 of quarterback wide receiver duos. And that's not to say they can't get there a couple years from now, but in year one, like, Matthew Golden would have to be pretty special in order for that to happen. And I think they can be good. Like, I think that Golden can come in and be that number one wide receiver. Because, just with Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, are they really going to be able to hold off somebody that's that got that speed and smoothness?
The Golden, I would say, this year, 47 receptions, 642 yards, 3 touchdowns.
I'll take the over on all 3.
Okay. It's a bet.
All right. Well, okay, what'd you say? 47?
Nah.
Let me just think about it.
What's the rush? What's the rush? We got plenty of time.
As if we can't rewind the tape in the production room and see what you said. Like, it didn't just disappear into the oblivion. CBSSports.com has Jordan Love and Matthew Golden listed as the 8th best. This is a projection. New quarterback wide receiver duo. Do you think they could be top 10 in the league? Of all the quarterback wide receiver duos, 800-990-3776. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Let me tell you what I did a couple of years ago. I joined out at the Wisconsin Country Club. I love it. I love playing the golf course. I love the practice area, getting out there, working on my game. And now they've launched the WCC Performance Academy, which is powered by Catalyst Golf Performance and Aretas Physical Therapy. It's the real deal. TrackMan 3D Motion, Miha EMS, everything you need to move better, feel stronger, shoot lower scores. So once you join, you can join the Performance Academy and really start working on your game. No assessments at the Wisconsin Country Club either. No food and beverage minimums. Just an incredible, challenging golf course and great amenities as well. Tennis, pickleball, and a pool that has Sundays fun days for the kiddos. Get started today. TheWisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How are you feeling, big guy, about the MRI?
It's starting to hurt now. I think I have mental issues. I really do.
Well,
gonna have to clip that.
Yeah,
for me?
That's just. I mean,
just hold on to it.
Yeah. I know. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just, I think it's something in my brain's telling me
something is wrong, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers' win streak comes to an end yesterday against the Reds, although they almost, very close, tied it up at the end of the game. Just got robbed of a home run at the wall to lose 4-2 to the Reds. But that was not the only tough break in the evening, as Brandon Woodruff was making another rehab start, what they expected to be his final rehab start, actually. And, man, it's just... He took a liner off the elbow. They're calling it a right elbow contusion. I guess they were saying it was like 108.2 mile per hour comebacker. Ouch. Mm. And so that delays Brandon Woodruff's return again. Chewy, of course, you know, like, he hasn't pitched for the Brewers since the fall of 2003. Took all of 2024 off to recover and rehab. And now they've been slowly working him back. What was the issue earlier this year? Was it an ankle injury, Gabe? He was coming back, making his
then
final.
He had an ankle injury, yep. And then that set him back because then he had to rehab that and then get the arm strength back up. And yeah, it's just, it seems like he's a little snake bitten at this point. Anytime he gets close, something weird just happens. And he's pitched well. Eight total rehab starts before Tuesday, 3-1, 1.96 ERA, 33 strikeouts, and 36 2/3 innings.
Should they view Woodrow, I think that's the general sentiment, Chu, is that he will be fine. Should they view him, though, as sort of a bonus pitcher at this point? Like, until he gets on the diamond for the Brewers game, I'm a little like, well, they've been doing well, especially over this last stretch when they've been hitting and Christian Yelich has been on a tear and whatnot. Without Woodruff, I know that they want to improve the starting rotation and they feel that Woodruff would do that. But there's also a part of me that's like, I don't know, and this is not a knock on him, how much they should rely on him for quality starts, for quality innings down the stretch.
I mean, I think you have to. I mean, this is one of your guys. This is why you signed him to the contract you signed him to, is for the second half of the season to be him, to have him be a productive pitcher. We're only going to run him out there for four innings at a time. Like, that's just thing. Those are things that tax your bullpen. At that point, why are you having him on the roster? Because now you're putting other people's roster spots in jeopardy because you got to cycle through the bullpen so fast. I'm not saying when he comes back and whenever that first start ends up being that he's going to go out there and throw 103 pitches. I don't think that's the case. You're going to have to continue to work that arm strength back up to 100 pitches. But you need him to be somebody that can go out there and get 5-6 innings every 5 days. That's what you need.
He's fine. Even if it's right after the All-Star break, I really don't care. It's going to take him a little time to come up to speed. But what you want is him peaking towards the end of the season and into the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying expect Brandon Woodruff to be the stud that he was prior to, but he still can be. Yeah, but he can be.
But what do you expect them to be? Like their second best behind Peralta, or
no. Probably like 3-4.
Really?
Yeah. Coming off a major injury like that, I mean, Jose Quintana's really good. He started opening day last year for the Mets. Like, Quintana's pretty good. You know, and the rest of the staff has come together and been able to put together really good outings. So
that'll still be a pretty good lineup, though.
Oh yeah, exactly. And if he's able to pitch better than that, that just again makes that starting rotation one that you don't want to mess with when you get to a 3-game series.
Gabe, if the trade deadline is at the end of the week, what are you looking at?
They need
to upgrade the team.
Bullpen? No. Bullpen's actually fine. Bullpen's good, and they've got arms that they can continue to cycle through at the minor league level. You need more offense, particularly out of the left side of the infield. You just need you need to have somebody who can be a steady bat at third base.
Which is doable.
Yeah, right? We'll wait. We'll have to wait and see. Again, the introduction of, you know, the wild card round and more wild card teams have made more teams think that they're alive and can stay alive. So we'll have to wait and see when that comes. But that is, offense is what the Brewers are going to be in the market for if they try to make a move at the deadline.
What's the number one thing that you think the Brewers have to do in order to be considered buyers at the deadline, Gabe?
Oh, they just have to stay within striking distance of the wild card race, which is what they are right now. So as long as they continue their steady play, again, you're not going to, you know, run into 8-game winning streaks all that often. It's their longest winning streak since they won 9 in a row a couple of years ago. So as long as you stay alive in the division race, in the wild card race, I mean, right now they're their game back. St. Louis has that third and final wild card spot. As long as you're there, you don't even have to be in one of those wild card spots. Just a game, two, even three back, because you still have 2 months after the trade deadline. If you're there, then I think the Brewers can consider themselves buyers.
And before we stop this conversation, I do want to note that we have had several people weigh in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, that Chewy is most certainly to blame for the Brewers losing last night after asking Jeff Levering about Moneyball streaks, which brought up the George Webb streak, and now we have to start over.
I'll own it. Yes, I'll own it.
How big of you to admit that you said something on the radio that's available in podcast form on the ESPN Wisconsin app.
And on social media. The real question
it's
is,
everywhere.
Was it an intentional whammy?
Oh.
Can't imagine.
I don't know. Sometimes he's spiteful for fun.
That's true.
No, the Brewers are my second favorite team.
Yeah, but you like to have spite from time to time.
No.
He's not going to take it out on the Brewers, though.
No.
There's plenty of other targets.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time I've ever done that.
That's why I found it interesting. I found it quite peculiar.
You thought there was some intent
yes.
behind the statement.
You're talking about a guy that has zero control of this show, and you're blaming me for social media, and I'm not on any social media? How does that work?
I'm not blaming you for social media. I'm blaming you for putting it out there.
I didn't put anything out there.
No one was talking Moneyball or G-Webs until you brought it to the forefront.
I feel like G-Webs comes up once you hit 10.
Yeah.
Once you hit double digits and you're two games away, that's when G-Webs comes up.
Premature G-Webs.
Well, I'm the only one that owns anything on this damn show. No. I know that.
The great owner.
You own properties, and that's about it. All right?
And even those.
I think people wanted me to sing again. I believe we're not reading those text and tweets.
As the guy who claimed he ate the works pizza that gave him a tummy ache after he had a bad Packers take. Are you the owner?
I was on the injury report.
Adjacent.
That's fair.
You were, I mean, I guess.
You were on the injury report the same way Jair was.
Hey, Joshy.
Yeah?
I'm back on Monday. Don't make me Schefter you with a dog, okay?
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
I think that was an interesting threat.
Did he just threaten to poop on
me? Yep, yeah, that's what he did.
He's going to doo-doo on you.
That's what he did.
All right, let's shut off his mic. Let's go to break, wrap up the show, try to maintain a little bit of our dignity before we end it.
That's gone. Deuces.
That was the most unique threat I've ever received in my life.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
a little?
No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be.
That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report and found that while 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support when they are struggling, only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. When people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It affects families, workplaces, entire communities. I'm sure you heard the news this past week of one of my ESPN colleagues who passed away, died by suicide. Help is available. If you find yourself in a situation where you are feeling helpless, you feel like you don't have support, no one understands, and you are alone, just know that that is not the case. BetterHelp is trying to end the stigma. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout. You'll get 10% off your first month. It's convenient. You can join a session with the click of a button. You can fit therapy into your busy life. You can switch therapists at any time. They've helped 5 million people globally, and they have 35,000 therapists on call. We are all better with help. It's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. And here I thought Chewy talking about the feud or the conflict he was having with his wife about the hurricane prep was going to be the highlight of the show. No, in fact, it was in the last few minutes of the show when you threatened to doo-doo on Joshy.
He's running his mouth a little too much.
Didn't we talk about that lady who doo-dooed on a car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it right?
Billy Pooper.
Yeah.
I forgot she had that great nickname. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.